Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a Harris family heritage since 1866. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking wrap-up of the Georgia Organics Conference and the Classic City, aka Athens, Georgia, with our very own Heather Hyman.
I'm very proud to be here with you today, Nicole.
Heather, welcome to Hot Grease. Tell some of our listeners, I hope that our listeners are listening to the Farm Report on Heritage Radio Network, but briefly tell our listeners about your show.
Well, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, me and my co-host Jack Inslee interview farmers from all across the country from their different respective crops and livestock that they all raise, and we're very happy to give these farmers a voice.
What day and time?
It's Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Ah, so this Wednesday or last Wednesday, who was on the show?
Last Wednesday actually was awesome and very interesting. As some of you may know, we all broadcast right here on the back of Roberta's under what was a rooftop garden just about until a few weeks or months ago. Now it's a rooftop farm.
Ah, so we interviewed
Gwen. Yep, Gwen Chance. She was on our show. And then we had three people from Montreal, my first international guest, to talk about what a sugar shack is and how maple syrup is produced. And this is the season where it starts.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, Heather, you and I we did something very special a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Athens. Some of you guys may know that is my hometown. But we were in Athens for the Georgia Organics Conference, and it was the 13th annual conference titled Reclaiming Agriculture.
Yes.
I was there Friday and not really in the mix Saturday. I was sick and I had a family emergency, but you were there on Saturday. So we're going to talk a little bit about day one of the conference. And day one Friday, there was an annual address by Alice Rolls. She is the executive director of Georgia Organics. And then there were morning sessions, including beekeeping, social media, farm to pasture. And then in the afternoon, there were farm tours. So we actually have an audio clip of Alice Rolls doing the annual address to conference attendees.
Annual conference. It is a delight to be up here, and I'm excited that we have another wonderful crowd of 1,100 people that have registered for this conference this year. Kudos to you all. Our community continues to grow. First, I wanted just to express to you that when we were brainstorming about the theme for this year's conference, we settled on reclaiming agriculture. And it's very easy to forget that the word culture is in agriculture, because we hear a lot about agribusiness, agro-whatever, but the culture part is what we really wanted to focus on this year, and you're very much a part of that culture. You know, sometimes people say, well, why don't you do a farmers conference and then a conference for consumers? And to me, I think it's incredibly important, and it's a pivotal time maybe for agriculture in our country, that we stay together. I think one of the failures we've had historically with agriculture is we've siloed it over here, and we've cut off the community part, and it's become all about business. So, no, we're not gonna do a farmers conference. We're gonna do a farmers conference. We're gonna do a conference for farmers, consumers, advocates, health experts, educators, researchers. That's our community. So I hope you'll support us as we continue to try and keep us together and not segregated in our collective work.
So you guys were just listening to the annual address at the Georgia Organics 13th Annual Conference, and that was the executive director, Alice Rolls. I want to say this about the conference. That was my second time going, and it definitely has grown. I think it was 1,000 attendees, and not including probably the exhibitors and all that good stuff. They have a great website. I think it's a Georgia Organics Conference where they aggregated all of the tweets. They have video on there, and I think they put up today the audio of Carlo Petrini, which we'll talk about in a later segment of his speech there. But did you, so you didn't go on Friday, but did you get a chance to look at some of the sessions on Friday?
Friday, I looked at some of the sessions, but unfortunately, I signed up a little too late to get a chance to visit some of these farms.
So one of the sessions that I actually kind of peeked in for three sessions, the early morning sessions on Friday. I did the beekeeping session and I did the social media session.
But you are all over. We know Nicole Taylor.
Social media. So it was kind of a beginner's. It wasn't for a person that was doing a lot of tweeting. Actually, Judith Winfrey, she's been on the show, one of the first shows on Heritage Radio Network, Hot Grease. Judith was on that panel as well as James Harris. He is a, I think, social media consultant. So he did that panel and I met a person there. Let me see if I remember her name. She was in the group. She owns a composting company, Longwood Plantation. You've heard of them?
Mm-hmm. I think I met with them at the expo, actually.
Ah, okay. So we talked. We did a brief video. She was just telling me about her business there. So I want to give her a shout out, Karen at Longwood Plantation. But one of the most interesting things, I'm so fascinated by beekeeping. And I think, don't we do some beekeeping here?
There's a little beekeeping close to home here. Eddie, one of the general managers here, he does have a beekeeping project going on in Brooklyn. And I know that it was, it's definitely growing, but I don't know where they're at with it right now. But I know they had many hurdles to overcome because originally when they started this project, you were not allowed to raise bees in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I don't think the laws haven't been changed. Meg, who was voted by Huffington Post as the sexiest beekeeper in America. Ooh. She's been on the show before, and we're going to have her to come back on to break down or at least talk about the beekeeping laws. But in the meanwhile, I have an audio from a farmer in Georgia who was sitting next to me in the beekeeping workshop. Her name is Pilar, and I'm going to give you a short video of Pilar talking about
your name and the name of your farm.
Pilar Quintero from Rancho Langley Farm.
How many acres?
We have 21 acres.
Oh, wow. So what are you growing there?
This year, this is going to be our third year growing, and we actually do raised bed gardening, and we do fruits and a few fruits and vegetables, but mostly vegetables. Tomatoes, bell peppers, a lot of herbs, cucumbers, melons, watermelons, a lot of vines, zucchini, squash.
So why this session? We're in the sustainable beekeeping session.
Because we wanted to start having some bees on our farm and trying to show. We're more of an educational farm.
Oh, okay.
And we're in a county that's very urban. And so we're trying to develop a little bit of small of every aspect of farming and then be able to get the a conduit for educational, teaching kids and urban people.
So what did you do before farming?
We owned a restaurant and did real estate.
Oh, wow.
Never was a farmer.
So what was the motivation behind farming?
We wanted to buy some land, and we had three boys, and we basically thought about horses and being a place for benefits. And as the more I learned about farming, really grew passionate about it, and I just dove deep into things like this conference, to really give me a lot of quick learning.
Is this your first Georgia Organics conference?
Second. I was in Georgia Mentoring, in the Georgia Organics Mentoring Program last year.
Oh, very good. Thank you. And just tell me your name and the location. Do you have a website, or are you on Twitter or Facebook? Or
a little bit of everything. RanchoAlegrefarm.com.
Thank you. Pilar?
So you were just listening to Pilar. I can't remember Pilar's last name. I think she said it on there, but she owns Rancho Alegre Farm, and I think it's in Gwinnett County, which is a few miles, probably about 35, 40 miles outside of Athens. But next, we want to talk one of our favorite people at Heritage Foods USA.
Let me guess.
And take a guess, please.
Could it be Will Harris?
Ding, 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 ding.
What do I win?
a beer from Roberta.
All right.
So Will Harris, White Oak Pastures. I didn't get an interview with him, but I definitely talked to him. I'm going to get him on the show so we can, you know, talk about. I just think it's totally amazing. What, six generations, five generations? How many generations? Let's see. One, two, three, four. Four. I see his daughters are involved.
Everyone's involved.
So it give me the lowdown on Will.
I mean, what Will has done, honestly, is why he is so celebrated in Georgia. I mean, Will was the person who introduced the keynote speaker this year. Last year, he was winning awards. I mean, this guy, everyone knows his name. Basically, he has taken what was once not, you know, the sustainable, you know, grass-fed, you know, chain, and he has completely changed what he does on his farm. He has basically invested everything he's done to now raise animals, you know, in a much more humane way. And then he opened up a slaughterhouse on his farm.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize he had a slaughterhouse on the farm.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's what's so special about his production line. Everything is three steps. Instead of it being, you know, trucked all the way across the country and, you know, slaughtered somewhere else, it's all happening on his farm and moving directly then to the stores and to the producers, I mean, to the other purveyors that he sells to.
And I think Will is actually the president of Georgia Organics this year. And I know for a fact that he's in basically all of the Whole Foods in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Have you visited his farm or Patrick?
Patrick and Sarah have both been down to his farm. Unfortunately, I have not yet had the pleasure of being down there.
We need to do that, don't we?
I'm ready to go
and
whenever
you are.
And so
his daughters, I see on his brochure here, he has each generation of the Harrises. Have you met the daughters? They look extremely young.
Yeah, well, actually, I sat down and had lunch with him and his daughter at the farm cart. That's when we spoke about you and making sure that he wants to be on your show. So he is ready and waiting to come on.
Okay, cool. So Will did one of the sessions that I peeped in on, which is, it was straight for, this session was definitely for the farmer. Everyone in there, over 80% of the people in this session, they had livestock and they were farmers. So I was sitting in there. It was very interesting. And the title of this session was From Pasture to Processor. And Will Harris, of course, was presenting, as well as Jason Mann, Full Moon Farm. I think that's Farm 255, folks. And Charlotte and Wes Swaney of Riverwood Farms. So it was a really interesting session just to hear farmers talk practicality about how much grain you need, about slaughterhouse, about the things you talked about going from farm to market.
Well, basically, I mean, Will would definitely be one of the best persons to run something like this. And the people at Farm 255, what they all do is they're growing food for their own restaurant at Farm 255. And, you know, that's just something that we noticed there sitting at dinner, is that all the chefs and all of the ingredients that were part of the Farmer's Feast, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, comes directly from the farm. It's not traveling miles and miles to get there. That's why I think so many people feel that Georgia and the community of restaurants and chefs and farmers are so tightly knit. Everyone knows everyone there.
And speaking of everyone knows everyone, one of my favorite people in Atlanta, in Georgia, I actually call him the Will Allen of the South, Rashid Nuri. He's on the board of Georgia Organics, and I had an opportunity to talk to him about what he's doing in Atlanta in terms of urban farming and people of color or black people in Georgia and Atlanta. So we actually have a clip of Rashid in the expo area at the Georgia Organics Conference.
Just tell your name.
My name is Rashid Nuri, and I'm an urban farmer here in the metropolitan Atlanta area.
And you're also on the board of Georgia Organics?
I'm on the board of Georgia Organics. How are you?
Good.
With the Atlanta Local Food Initiative, and anything I can do to help people be of service in the area of urban agriculture and local food economies, that's what we do.
So I'm here, my show is titled Hot Grease, and one of my guiding principles is to always talk about people of color in the movement, in the good food movement. And I'm looking around here, I see a few specks of people, but what are your thoughts about the locals in Athens and in Georgia in general, and the urban agriculture movement?
We need to have more people of color, black folks. We have a lot of people without color that's coming out all the time doing this work. I get a lot of volunteers, not as many as I would like to from my own community. So we're promoting this in the schools, working with the children, trying to get them interested in this. I really want to get some of the young men who are in trouble with the penal system. We had folks that do come out to do community service, court-mandated community service, they come out. But we're trying to get as any way I can to get black people, people of color, involved in this work. I'm trying to do so.
And your farm, you're in East Point.
Well, that's one of our spots. I'm quintessentially an urban farmer. We have multiple sites in the metropolitan area. Right now, I've got three or more, depending upon how you count them. But I got three principal sites.
Thank you, Mr. Rashid.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I'm glad to see you today.
So you guys were just listening to Rashid Nuri. He is the owner, founder of Truly Living Well Natural Urban Farms. One of his farms, the one that I know, is in East Point in Georgia, which is basically 5 miles outside of Atlanta. And he has several other sites in Atlanta doing urban farming. So we're going to take a quick break. We're playing all music about Georgia. We'll take a quick break and we will come back with more about the Georgia Organics Conference.
He couldn't make it, so he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh. He said he's going, said he's going back to find, going back to find.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. We actually have a new feature on Heritage Radio Network, and I'm so shocked that people are actually commenting on the comment section. So if you're listening,
I'm shocked.
I mean, I'm like, okay, people are listening, but people, when they actually comment, it's like, oh, okay. So listeners, if you like what you hear, please go on Heritage Radio Network, click on Hot Grease, and leave us some comments.
Yeah, that way we can answer your questions. And also feel free anytime to call in live at 718-497-2128.
Thank you, Heather, dear.
We want to answer all your questions.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Always.
So next up, we're talking, what are we talking next up? We're talking the expo. What did you think of the expo?
I mean, I thought it was really cool to see what they have going on. I mean, there was guys there with like these new robots. Did you see the robot gardening things?
Was that Grobot?
Grobot, yes.
Oh, yeah. I have a clip from her, Lady Rogue. I have a clip from Lady Rogue there. She's going to be talking. She's not talking about Grobot. We're talking about supper clubs or secret supper clubs. Ooh. That she runs one of them. But, yeah, I was talking to her. Very innovative. What else? What other vendors or exhibitors did you find very interesting?
Well, I mean, I wish I had the piece of paper next to me. It was the seed exchange people. What they do is they have something really special. I actually have it right here with me, the seed link. What they do is they will give you seeds, and it's only under one condition, that you save the seeds then for to pass along to the next generation, basically, so that you're taking the seeds, you're planting them, and then you're making sure that they stay preserved so that people can keep, you know, the lineage of that seed alive. Because the most important thing that I think the seed link does, which you could read a little bit more about if you visit www.uga.edu/ebl/ssl, which you'll see up on the archives, it's pretty important what they're doing. They're just really preserving heirloom seeds.
Yeah, I think actually I have a magazine at home. I think they were in the Gourmet magazine, Good magazine, and there was a whole article about them, but it was a national publication. Mm-hmm. Talking about what they're doing in Georgia in terms of seed saving. Speaking of University of Georgia, one of the very interesting exhibitors that I had a chance to interview was UGA Press. And UGA Press, they've put out books, Cornbread Nation 4, mm-hmm. which is a collection of stories and written works from folks all over the country writing about Southern food. They have Natalie Dupree, Craig Claiborne, and I actually have an audio clip from UGA Press talking about their publications.
We are here at University Press booth at the Georgia Organics Expo, and we have
Erica Stevens from the University of Georgia Press.
So Erica, tell us about some of the food culture or food cookbooks that you guys have published.
Well, we've done several cookbook reprints. We brought back the Craig Claiborne's classic cookbook, and we have a reissue of Mrs. Dull, and of course Natalie Dupree. Coming up here in fall 2010, we'll be publishing the Southern Foodways Alliance Community Cookbook, which is a collection of recipes from people who love Southern food, whether they're in the South or not, edited by John T. Edge and Sarah Rowan, and we're really excited about that.
Is that the first? Is that the first time Southern Foodway Alliance has done a community cookbook, or?
It's the very first Southern Foodways Alliance community cookbook, and we're absolutely.
Oh wow! Yeah. Very exciting. Okay, so the reprints, Mrs. R.S. Dole, I've never heard of her before.
Well, we like to bring back historic cookbooks that talk about our food heritage and food ways. And we brought this back a few years ago with a foreword by Damon Lee Fowler to sort of contextualize the cookbook, talk a little bit about the time in which it came into being and was actually used.
So one last question for our listeners. If we wanted to get any University Press, University of Georgia Press cookbooks or publishing, is there a way to go online, or are they just in regular local bookstores?
Well, you'll see them in some local bookstores, but best of all, go to our website, www.ugapress.org.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You were just listening to Erica Stevens of the University of Georgia Press talking about some of their publications. Shout out to Erica. She gave me a copy of Cornbread Nation. Started reading it over the weekend. The first essay was from Edna Lewis talking about spring. So it was perfect with the nice weather here in Brooklyn. One of the other things, I have audio of Lady Rogue, which you talked about. She has... Lady Rogue is her name, her avatar name that she goes by. She doesn't use her real name. And she also has Growbot Garden. But I wanted to ask her, because in every national publication and regional publication about supper clubs, she is always mentioned. And so I asked her about supper clubs and what makes hers different from all the ones that are in Brooklyn and in New York that are in Georgia. So listen to what Lady Rogue had to say about supper clubs.
It's another one of the many projects that I find myself getting involved in.
So I want to ask you about the supper club.
Sure.
Everybody is doing supper clubs.
Yes.
What makes yours different?
Well, that's a really good question, and it poses the question, different from what? What's your preconception of what it is? And if your preconception is that it's a very fancy, highfalutin, chef-oriented deal that's very expensive, then, well, that's so not us. We are volunteer-run. We are crowdsourced. We source locally. We work with home brewers who brew to match the menus. And it's a flash mob style where the volunteers get the emails a day or two ahead of time. And they come. They serve as chefs. They serve as servers, bartenders, greeters, the whole works. So it's like really kind of more of a public experiment than it is the fancy white tablecloth experience that a lot of other people put on.
Where was your last?
So you were just listening to Lady Rogue. Lady Rogue is on Twitter at Lady Rogue. Yeah, she has some very interesting tweets. And again, if you go to Twitter, if you're on Twitter and you put in Go Conference, well, it's actually Go C-O-N-F with the hashtag in front. You can see all of the tweets from the conference. And she definitely was tweeting. We're actually going to take a short break and we're going to come back because Heather is the person that we're going to talk all about Carlo Petrini, about the Farmer's Feast and the great words that he spread to the people in Georgia.
A moving night.
So we're going to take a short break and give you some music from Georgia and come back.
Georgia.
Georgia. And the whole day through. Yes, it's just this whole sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. I said, Georgia, no, no. Georgia. And the song of you.
Welcome back to a special extended edition of Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Our sponsor today is White Oak Pastures. So we're talking the Farmer's Feast Carlo Petrini with Heather Hyman, our very own. So Heather, please tell us, I did not get to attend, but first of all, set us up with the menu and the food.
Well, what was so amazing about this whole event, and one part I didn't know until the end of the event, was that they had to split the 2,000 people in the feast into like four quadrants. So they were using all the same ingredients, but because of the amount of chefs that they had working on the feast, they had to split up the menu into four different dishes, all using the similar ingredients, but doing a little bit of different preparation for each of them. So basically, there were first courses. There was lots of pickled vegetables. That's something that you'll definitely see a lot of when you're down south.
Yeah, I'm looking now at I see, is this a first course?
Yeah, that's the quadrant I was
so
in.
So definitely share with our listeners.
We had Chef Linton Hopkins. We had
we love him. That's Eugene Restaurant.
Yes, ma'am. We have Hugh from 5 and 10. We had let's see, Anne from Bacchanalia, and you may know Abattoir Restaurant as well.
Yeah, they Star just Provisions. Opened. Yeah.
Yep, I had a nice dinner at Abattoir. Very, very, very cool place. We have like basically just real Georgia cuisine at its finest. I mean, you've heard of chicken pot pie. We were eating shrimp pot pie. I mean, it was unreal. The salads, the greens, everything is just directly what's in season at that time. They were not bringing in anything that wasn't available from somewhere within, I don't know, maybe 50 to 100 miles probably at the most of
right.
their farm.
Totally. So tell us dinner. About the highlight of the evening, our very own. I think we claim Carlo as our very own?
I don't know if we can claim him as our own, but I can definitely credit him to, he's the reason I do what I do today, work for Heritage Foods USA, work under the founder of Slow Food USA, Patrick Martins. Carlo Petrini was the highlight of the night. I mean, I could eat all day long, but to see Carlo in person and to listen to him speak with the people in the audience that I was sitting amongst was absolutely unbelievable. It really just kind of lit a little fire under my butt again and really made me so invigorated for, you know, why I do what I do every day.
You don't tweet often, but I think that you actually tweeted one of his comments from the address, the keynote.
Well, he was just so excited to basically explain to people that, you know, we need to stop feeling like our movement is an elitist movement. We really need to make people understand that the food that we sell and that we produce, you know, as farmers who are trying to raise things in the most humane and sustainable way as possible, may seem a little more expensive when you first look at the price tag. But when you take into consideration the costs that you know, are incurred when you have to deal with health problems from food that is less expensive and, you know, the miles it takes to, you know, produce some of this less expensive food, the expiration dates that are put on it because of the way they preserve it, it creates waste. It really makes people not appreciate the food as much as they would if it was something that they're buying direct from the farmer. So we have to remember that our food really isn't the food that our farmers are producing with a much shorter production chain, meaning it's being sold directly from the farm or the slaughterhouse itself, might be a little expensive up front, but in the end, it really is not any more expensive than the packaged foods that you will buy in the supermarket.
So, Carlo, you actually attended a second event, the Farmer's Feast. Actually, I think Georgia Organics is not on their site yet, mm-hmm. but I know that
last year and they had Michael Pollan there. They mm-hmm. eventually put the keynote up. So when it's available, I'll definitely make sure that I mention it here on Hot Grease. But you actually attended a second event on Sunday. Well, tell us a little bit about that event.
Well, I had the opportunity to meet him, which was really special for me to show him a little bit about, you know, what I do with working with farmers. And, you know, I got a nice bravo, bravo, grazie mille, you know, and I don't speak very well, you know, I don't speak very much Italian. But, you know, I was able to show him something visually, mm-hmm. and I got to watch his translator then go read to him what I had shown him, which is basically, if you look at the homepage of heritagefoodsusa.com, It explains, you know, on that piece of paper that I showed him, what our company is doing representing small independent right. family farmers. I mean, but to go back to the speech, it was really special to hear him praising collard greens and people that wanted to just add a little bit of bacon in it. I mean, it's something that he wished that he could get all year round, all over the world.
I saw those tweets about the collard greens and bacon fat. He said he wanted to make a movement around that.
You know, but to follow up on that, what he says is, you know, it's what's special about Georgia. And that's really what we have to bring home. There are foods that are place and taste specific, you know, you can really only get certain things certain times of the year and in certain places. We shouldn't be, you know, asking for a fig in a month when figs aren't really growing. I mean, and that was one point. Next point that I thought was amazing is that he said people in our country right now spend more money on trying to lose weight than they even do to eat. And I saw the looks of the people sitting at my table and everyone was nodding their head in agreement. I mean,
that is
it's
very
so
true.
It is so true. And if people maybe just took a little more time to learn what it is they were eating or how to eat better, they wouldn't be spending money on diets for food that would get delivered to their house that might really not be that great for them in the end.
Totally. I have to give a shout out or ask you about our very special friend, Julie Schaefer.
Oh, yes.
I think she received an award at the Farmers Feast. Tell us about that award.
I think it's so appropriate and fitting that Julie, after all the work she's done with Slow Food and, you know, she's now working with Emory University to try and bring better food to the campus. I mean, I know last year they were serving, and even the year before, I think it's been 2 years now, they served the Good Shepherd Turkey Ranch Heritage Turkeys to students on the Emory University campus. That was such a big feat for small farmers, for the Good Shepherd Turkey Ranch, for independent farmers and, you know, biodiversity. It's just a feat for everyone to finally get food like that into such a you know, important school. I know Carla Petrino actually also spoke this past week.
He was in Charleston, right?
Yeah, but he also spoke at the Center for Disease Control.
Oh, really?
In Atlanta for the public health students in
great.
The law school.
That's really, really great. We could go on. God, we have to. I think he's been here for a while because I think he's at Charleston's Food and Wine Festival, which happened this past weekend, mm-hmm. and I saw some of my Southern friends foodie.
Mm-hmm. Tweeting.
Some people don't like foodie, but anyway, some of my food friends at that festival. We're actually going to take a short break. We have one last segment talking about the farm tour highlights and also around town in Athens, some really cool restaurants and bars that we checked out in Athens. So we're going to take a short break and come back with the last segment on the Georgia Organics Conference.
Fred Lassie in a breakfast mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's play Twister, let's play Risk. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll see you in heaven if you make the mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one?
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by White Oak Pastures. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. So we're back, still talking Georgia Organics in Athens. We have about 10 minutes left on a special long edition of Hot Grease. One of the things Friday that I had an opportunity to do and I thought was so amazing, I went on the, I don't even know the name of the tour, what they call it. I'm going to call it the Food Activism Tour, the Georgia Organics Conference. I actually did two stops, one being First Christian Church, and they have raised beds right on the church ground, and next door there's a high rise, a senior high rise, and the raised beds are actually handicap accessible for seniors. And I thought that was absolutely amazing. So they were there talking about that, as well as another stop that I actually made on my own, but the entire tour did not go. Athens Area Homeless Shelter, they have a gardening program for people that are transitioning in the shelter, growing their own food. The space was kind of small, so the representative actually just came to First Christian Church to talk about the program. Very amazing. And lastly, one of the stops that I did, I didn't do the last stop on there, but I did go to Hill First Baptist Church. And I didn't realize that we were going to be pulling up there. I know Hill First Baptist Church. It is the oldest black church in Athens, and they have a beautiful garden there. And it's an effort between the church, the newcomers in the community, i.e. UGA students. I hate to use the word other gentrifiers, but gentrifiers and residents that have always lived in this historic neighborhood. So I actually have a clip. It's very low, but it's from the person that actually started the garden. And she's talking about Hill First Baptist, and she's talking about the community.
For hundreds of years in a very vibrant African-American community. But over the course of about the last 10 or 20 years, you can ask Mr. Thomas and Mr. Alfred, who both grew up in this community, there's been a lot of change. The community is kind of in transition now. Now, a lot of the new houses are infill houses for students. This whole block was bought by a professor at UGA, the first block of houses, and the houses were renovated. And there are a number of people who live there short term, and they're coming through recovery programs. So we have a student population that's very transient. We have recovering people who are also transient. There is a base of very old African-American families that still live here. And then there's quite a significant homeless population all in this neighborhood. This area right here was a ravine. It used to be Tanyard Creek. And the city covered it and channelized it about 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, and planted kudzu. So when I first came here, there was kudzu as high as where the ivy starts on the...
So you were just listening to, I cannot remember her name, but she was actually the founder, creator, the main person at the Hill First Baptist Community Garden in Athens. And I want to give a shout out to Ben's Bike. I actually did an interview with Ben's Bike, and I'm going to load these videos up to my YouTube page, Food Cultures YouTube page, so folks can go on and get the full video and see the folks that I interviewed in Athens. But this was amazing to see that there's food activism actually going on. And Ben's Bike is actually a local drop-off spot, which is essentially right across the street from the church. And it's a used bike shop. But they are an online CSA, or more so online farmers market for folks in Athens. And it's a pickup location. So you'll see on the YouTube video him talking about biking and sustainability and food and how they're linked to each other, and the growing but very small movement in Athens of bikers and food. But I want to talk about some very interesting stuff, Heather. I want to talk about food in Athens and places that I checked out, places that I always go to in Athens that are doing cool local stuff. First, let's talk about Farm 255. You went, right?
I went. I checked it out, but I actually ate at their farm cart. But I did go see the restaurant, which was awesome. I hear they do live music out there too, which is really nice. So it is bringing the community. You know, they're all about community. It seems like where we were for that beautiful weekend. I know they're opening up Farm Burger, where hopefully soon they'll be able to.
Yeah, that's going to be in Atlanta. The Farm Burger is going to be in Atlanta.
Yep, but they're hoping to be able to soon, you know, have their own cows so that they can, you know, make their own burger mix using different parts from, you know, the animal, from, you know, the same animal in their burger, which would be great, and then be able to maybe sell the other cuts in the restaurant. George, I know, is going to be the chef there that I spoke to.
Yeah, I actually went Friday and had the best cocktail at Farm 255. I didn't have dinner there, but it was a margarita. But it was great, and they use like fresh herbs and stuff in there. It was absolutely great. So shout out to Farm 255. And actually, the last day I was in Athens, I took my mom there. We went to the cart. We had celery root soup. I had a grilled cheese sandwich. She had a ham and cheese sandwich. She absolutely loved the place. We had a salad. She was like, wow, I didn't know this was here, but the cart is...
Well, for me, it was kind of cool sitting at the cart, because I ate lunch at the cart with Will Harris and his daughter, and we were eating Will Harris's beef hot dogs from White Oak Pastures. So, you know, to really be able to share a meal with the farmer who raised the products and then processed it was really, you know, that was really special for me.
So where else did you eat in Atlanta and Georgia?
Well, I had been waiting to visit Mr. Scott Peacock's famous restaurant, The Watershed, ever since I met him and actually helped to make his most famous biscuits 2 years ago at Slow Food Nation in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. So, you know he left, right?
I just heard. It was big news.
Yeah.
He's just opening up his own place, right? Another place.
Well, actually, on the last episode of Hot Grease, John Kessler, who is a food writer for Atlanta Journal-Constitution, said that he's working on a documentary project. Mm. So maybe he has plans to open his own restaurant, but around cooks, older cooks in Alabama. So,
well, I know that his mentor was an older lady.
Etna Lewis. I just mentioned her about the in Cornbread Nation.
Yes.
So did you have the fried chicken at Watershed?
Unfortunately, I did not get to have the fried chicken because I was there for lunch. So I had a delicious burger, though.
Great.
I really wish I could have been there for the Sunday biscuits, but
the chicken runs out fairly quickly, though, that I hear it. Well, actually, when I lived in Atlanta and went there, you have to go early to get the chicken on Sunday. And I think we have one last audio of one of my favorite spots in Athens, and it's Weaver D's Fine Foods. Weaver D's, his slogan is automatic for the people. And if you think really hard, R.E.M. actually had an album. They sold the most records ever from Automatic for the People. Hmm. So Weaver D's is actually like three blocks from where I grew up in Athens, right on East Broad Street. He's been there 24 years, and I had the opportunity to interview him. He's actually in 2007 won a James Beard Award, or was granted or named an American Classic. So here is audio part one and part two of the audio with Weaver Dexter, or Weaver D's Fine Food.
So, tell me your name.
Dexter Weaver, and I am the owner of Weaver D's Fine Foods at 1016 East Broad, Athens, Georgia, 30601.
So, your book, Automatic, y'all, tells the story of Weaver D's Fine Foods.
Yes.
Tell some of our listeners who will be listening to this, in a nutshell, what's the story of Weaver D's Fine Foods?
Okay, Weaver D's, my book Automatic Y'all, entails me growing up in Baltimore, Maryland, during the 60s when I was a shoeshine boy, one of my first ventures as a shoeshine boy, and me working as a preteen and a teenager doing different odd jobs, selling seeds, Cheerful House cards, gospel news journals, 7-year light bulbs, Afro-American newspapers. I sold corsages and all on Mother's Day. And like I said, I was a shoeshine boy in the 60s.
Someone told me that you actually started off selling cookies and peanuts. I used to sell cookies and peanuts and
I did. I started selling cookies and peanuts right before I opened up the restaurant. My peanuts used to be in all of the Golden Pantry and convenience stores all over Northeast Georgia. And when R.E.M. released the album in 92, Automatic for the People, I did 8,000 bags that went around the world with the album at various radio stations around the country.
I did not know that.
And a lot of them sold on music auction blocks for as much as $20 a bag.
So you just talked about R.E.M. and Automatic for the People. Please tell people the story, because we all know that you are connected to R.E.M. Is it that they use your slogan for their album?
Yes, in 92, R.E.M. named their album Automatic for the People, and they got it, you know, from this restaurant, and it became their largest album to date. And we went to the Grammys in 94, and they were nominated as Album of the Year against Whitney Houston.
Well, let me ask you this. So, did they come in here often, or?
They did. There's a lot of bands around town, and they used to frequent this place also, and their staff. So we became, you know, friends. And in 92, they wanted to name the album Automatic for the People. So I thought that was a good thing.
So speaking of Athens, you definitely are a legend in Athens. And even outside of Athens, when I bring up, Athens and soul food, R.E.M., people that are into food definitely know who you're being.
Yes, yes. We've known on an international level. We've been in every book and magazine, major magazine.
Yeah, I see you've been in Martha Stewart Living.
Yes, been in Martha Stewart Living. We've been in Rolling Stone. We've been in Spin Magazine, Something Living, Guns N' Roses. So many magazines we've been in. And we've been on ESPN. We've been on the Travel Network. I received an award in 07. The James Beard Award in New York at the Lincoln Center, and now I'm an American Classic. So all that happened in 07.
Well, I've been here, I had lunch here. You have all those accolades, but yet you are very humble. I can tell that with everybody that comes in here. How do you stay humble and stay grounded?
Well, I guess it's the hard work that I did. You know, it pays off, and I'm still doing other things, you know. We're now in paperback, you know, we was in hardback. I was George Author of the Year in 2000, and now we're in paperback. So the book is still selling. It's out of print. You know, at most major bookstores, but we hold all the copies here, and we're selling them and sending them out from the restaurant.
So you accredit the hard work to being in business. Actually, I interviewed someone earlier, and they said that you have been in business 24 years this month.
24 years, yes. I opened on May 1st of 86. So we are now celebrating our 24th anniversary.
So I do this thing on my show called the Hot Five, where
to Weaver D, and he was talking about his book, Automatic, y'all. It's in paperback. I'm sure you can get it at your local bookstore, or you probably can. Weaver does not have a website, but you can Google him. Weaver Dexter, Automatic, y'all. So we're going to close out the show. I actually had Weaver D to do a hot five. He's very funny, and I think people who go to Weaver D's restaurant, they know him. He uses these phrases when you check out, and he is a huge personality. So he basically did a hot five all about his terms that he used for customers and just his philosophy about food. So this will be our last thing to wrap up the Georgia Organics and Athens, Georgia, aka Classic City. So finally, we have the hot five with Weaver D.
So I do this thing on my show called the Hot Five, where we have people come on, they give a rundown of five things about food, five things on fire, quote unquote on fire. And what I know about you and always know about you, you always saw Automatic. You have these one word phrases that you use, and I want you to give us five.
Okay. Okay, we have one of the phrases.
So
come
five.
Out of that coma.
So five from Weaver D. Number five.
Okay, come
number
out of
five.
That coma is one, communication.
Wait a minute, so come out of that coma, what's that one?
That means get real, come back to life, whatever, let's get with it.
Okay, so come out of that coma, number five. From Weaver D. Okay. Number four. Weaver.
It's communication.
Yeah, I heard you say that earlier. What's
That's
that
right.
one?
That's right. Let's talk. Let's communicate.
Number three.
Click, click.
Oh,
that means when they're not paying attention, we say click, click, let's get on with it. Give me your order.
I didn't hear you say click, click today.
I do click, click too.
So number two.
What do we have there? Come back to life.
What's come back to life?
That's another one. Sometimes when they're like in a daze, they get right at the register, and then they like, they go blank. I'm like, hey, come on.
So do they, when you start come throwing back. Out these phrases, do they know what you're talking about?
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. That's why a lot of times I throw that click, click. That means, hey, get it together.
And number one, I think number one has to be what? Automatic.
Automatic, that's right.
And
that's
what,
right.
What does automatic mean?
Well, I combine that slogan, the phrase automatic, for the people, meaning ready, quick, and efficient. So a lot of people come in now, they say, I didn't hear you say automatic. I say, I'm not. I'm 55.
No, you still say it. It's like...
Yeah, I say it sometimes. But sometimes they catch me off guard and say, you didn't say it. And I'm like, okay, automatic.
So number one on Weaver D's Fine Food, automatic.
Automatic, that's
what
it.
He's definitely known for. Thank you.
Thank you guys again for listening to Hot Grease. Thank our guest, Heather Hyman. She's actually left the building. Gone back to do hard work at Heritage Foods USA. But thank you, Heather, for being on the show today. Thank you for listening. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.